You sit at a desk. They sit at a desk. You have sales reports. They have book reports. You need supplies. They need supplies. Business is a lot like school. That's why your small business should take advantage of back-to-school deals at Staples. Now, Staples 1-inch 3-ring binders are $1.92. One subject notebooks are just 25 cents, and two pocket poly folders are just 35 cents each. Make back to school your business at Staples.
In-store only while supplies last. Offer ends 9/1/18, limit 30.
Blog Talk Radio.
50 million voices mumbling from the streets, talking about the haters and who they will retreat. Now folks are talking hard, hey, checking out the jive. Despite the hate and lying leaders, we are still alive. Stand tall. One warrior of compassion reflections. Available every Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Live. Warrior reflect. Where we reflect reality back to you.
Along with a sense of humility. the Greek word humus, which means earth. One must be down to earth or connected to the earth to have spiritual experiences instead of considering his or herself separate from and better than the earth. When one had a religious experience or a psychic experience, it is not supernatural. It lies within the boundaries of that which is nature. Many people in our society are just blind to the fullness of nature and spend their whole lives living on one thin band of reality. This narrow band is what we call civilization. When we are young, we experience a wide band of reality. We have vivid imaginations, and we experience reality more fully. The world seems more beautiful to us. Everything seems to be alive. We seek relationship with plants and animals. Some of us even find ourselves speaking with plants and animals, or even what they call imaginary friends. When I was young, I had very vivid dreams. People would come visit me in my dreams, talk with me, teaching me about life and the world. As I grew older, like many others, I was repeatedly taught that my beliefs about the world were false and that my experiences were only dreams in my imaginations. I was told that I needed to get ready for the real world. I was taught that I needed to learn about the world from other people. I learned that some people were authorities on the world. They knew more than I possibly could, so I had to listen to them. As children, we had read books that had been passed down for hundreds of years in the form of footnotes. People had to have certain credentials in order to write about nature and the nature of reality, and they still do. Most thoughts cannot be original. They have to go along with all thoughts. The ones that were written down previously by men from the 16th century onward, the same men who were the authorities during colonialism and expansionism in the West. As a result of our socialization, we slowly learn not to be magical, psychic, or intuitive. We learn about physics, math, and science, and we learn that the only power that truly exists in the universe is physical power over the other, driven by physical science. There is, however, another power that we usually don't learn about in school or in religious institutions, called spirit. The power of spirit takes place when people are sometimes miraculously healed for no apparent reason, or when one dreams of something. One dreams something terrible is going to happen to a loved one and warns him or her and ends up saving his or her life. The power of the spirit allows one to send your energy into the universe in order to heal others, or allows one to send one's mind and soul out of the body in order to experience the reality outside of this plane. Acts of the spirit consist of tapping into the larger self. A larger sense of nature. It consists of reconnecting with the universe from which we all have come, to the extent that we re-enter into the mind from which we have emerged before this present life. We begin to realize who we are. The word for breath in most religious traditions is the same word for spirit. Spirit is the breath. Spirit is that force that enters into the body and enlivens it, exists in the body, and then exits the body back out into the larger universe to enliven it. When we breathe, we are connected with everything. Molecules and atoms leave our body on our breath. New ones are brought in. The molecules and atoms replace old ones that are taken out. We, therefore, over a period of many years, about every 7 years, become these new molecules and atoms. We become this breath. We become this spirit, the same spirit or air that is shared with every other person, every other plant, and every animal. We are, in this sense, one. This is a frightening thing to consider in a society where we learn that our uniqueness is the most important thing. We learn that individualism is the most important thing, and there is nothing greater than the individual. The truth, however, is that there is nothing greater than the individual who lives in harmony with a loving community and who participates in that community through bringing forth love and justice. Individualism is deceptive. Even we as individuals exist as a community. The body is made up of more than a trillion cells. There are more than 200 types of these cells. All these cells work together in an organized manner to enhance the body. At one time, it was believed that every cell moved automatically. It was thought they were all like automatons, controlled by the brain. Recent studies now show that these cells are not automatons. The brain is not the only organism in the body that thinks. Every cell can think. Discoveries show that every cell has a set of nodes on them that communicates with each and every other cell in the brain. The body is like one large brain, more like that than a robot with one organ, making the body carry out all of its functions. The body is a community of cells working in harmony. Just as this world can become a community of bodies working in harmony and cooperation again, we can all be unique, and this uniqueness can be used in order to make humanity stronger and more adaptable. Our diversity, therefore, is our strength. We do not have to all be the same to be a community. We have to be different. Our duty is to be our true inner selves, not to be true to ourselves. Is the word the only gift that we bring to this society? Some compare society and the universe to a large puzzle. There are many different shapes and pieces with different faces and colors. Whenever one person or one piece is not allowed to develop him or herself and his or her uniqueness to the fullest, it is the same as taking a piece of that puzzle and destroying it. It is leaving a tear in the fabric of the universe and oneself. Are you developing your true self? Are you seeking to discover who you really are by not comparing yourself to others, or always judging yourself in comparison to others, but by looking deep inside your own heart? Do you dare to look into your heart? Do you dare to look at the ugliness within and accept it, knowing that something will call you to heal that ugliness within as soon as you truly see it? Do you dare to look at the beauty and accept it fully, knowing that something will call you to live the beauty within as soon as you really see it? Do you dare to reach out and touch the face of the divine? When you dare to do so, you will find a face that looks somewhat like your own face. You will see a face looking back at itself, realizing, remembering how it became divine. For all is God, God is divine spirit, and divine spirit is all. As Stevie Wonder saying, "Where is my God? He lives inside of me. It's taken him so long because we've got so far to come." That divine spark is within you. That divine spark is you. And through the work of your hands, you bring forth love and creative energy into a violent world. You are created and you are creator. This realization, my friends, is spirituality. Taking it to heart is becoming a spiritual warrior. You want to become a spiritual warrior. It begins by brushing away, battling against, and destroying all of the falsity in society and self. By reclaiming the parts of yourself that you have let go of, or that you have suppressed, If you do the exercises outlined at the end of these lessons, you will become a spiritual warrior. But the path is hard because you must be diligent. It is even more enjoyable and fulfilling than it is difficult. It is apparent that life can be difficult. We need all of our energy to make it through this world without causing harm to others, and in order to remain loving and kind in the world to come, whatever that world may be. Suppressing the self and projecting one's own inner self, one's hopes, dreams, beauty onto movie stars, sports figures, or whatever this society presents as the perfect norm, instead of developing that part of the self for oneself, steals our necessary creative energy away and gives it to someone else. Reclaim your energy. Dare to spread your wings and fly. Dare to work to live out your own dreams and to be who you truly are. Fight the good fight. The good fight is the battle, the war against self-deception and foolishness. It is a war against fear, hatred, and haughtiness. The war against apathy, tiredness, and depression. Fight the good fight and win that which the heart of every thinking human being cries out for: freedom. This is the true freedom, to be oneself and to form a loving community with everybody and everything on earth, wherever you may go. This is the good fight. You will always be victorious in every battle if you will take on the mantle of the WOC. These lessons are the first step.
Very heavy stuff, isn't it? These writings are very powerful, very clear and succinct, drawing on all of the wisdom traditions of the West, including social psychology, cognitive psychology, philosophy, and many others, in order for us to set ourselves free. Is it any wonder that the writer of this book began to be subtly persecuted for several years right after it was finished, and people begin to learn about it? So, if you are willing to take the chance to learn these things and to do these things, you will become a master of your own fate, and you can make sure that no one is ever persecuted for bringing forth the truth that can set others free. In the middle of this talk, we're going to have a little bit of a break. We'll have a little bit of a poetry reading. This poetry reading comes from Om Prakash Gilmore. Again, it's a book called The Love Poems to the Beloved in You, and the title of the poem is Like a Deer in the Headlights. There is a window in my soul. It lets the light in and chases away the darkness. Looking out of the window, I can see thousands of faces, the hopes and dreams of people passing each other on the streets, brushing into each other at the laundromat, trying to avoid the stares, the glaring looks of eyes that are just not like theirs. And then I see you. Like a deer in the headlight, I stop and take notice of a shining light, a beacon of hope in this world of despair, a heavy carriage of love threatening to crush my soul. Oh, let me die in your arms. Let me dream great dreams with you, and then awaken to a world of beauty and color and wonder and majesty, where everyone has the opportunity to touch the face of God. For you, my beloved, the beginning and end, my start and finish, are all that I desire. You fill my days and nights with song. You touch me and hold me close in times of fear. You embrace me when my world comes crashing in and teach me the true meaning of myself. You give me my wings to fly whenever I feel broken and battered, and I, with you, touch the face of the sky again, soaring on the wings of love and leaving behind the heavy sorrow of those who just are not awake and who just really don't want to know love. So we'll have a little bit of an announcement, and we will lead into the next part of the chapter. That was just the introduction, so wait until we get to the information section.
In order to learn more about what we are doing, please visit our website at www.nextstepcoaching.4t.com, where you can find some very interesting books and some services that we do to enhance your health and well-being on the mental, physical, and spiritual. In order to learn more about what we are doing, please visit our website at www.nextstepcoaching.4t.com, where you can find some very interesting books and some services that we do to enhance your health and well-being on the mental, physical, and spiritual levels.
If you like what you're hearing right now, please forward our URL to some of your friends, family members, and also follow us on this website here at Blog Talk Radio so that you can learn about some of the interesting things we're doing. You can also explore our website more fully. In the future, we hope to be offering life coaching classes to end internalized oppression and the need to oppress externally by delving deeply into our true identity and knowing that we are the ones who help to create this reality, not only a small group, not a larger group, but everyone on this earth. And at that time, when we realize this, we become free of the pain and the suffering that seems common in the world. Stay tuned. We will let you know when we will be leading workshops on becoming the compassionate warrior and breaking free of the conditioning that often binds us. There we have it, my friends. Song by Earth, Wind, and Fire, People of the Mighty Death, describes perfectly what the compassionate and peaceful warrior is. And this is what we must become in this troubled world. Instead of waiting for other people to save us or have mercy on us, we have to garner the power that we have as individuals and communities and create a beautiful, loving, kind world ourselves, a world where our children will automatically be like the people in this song because they will be nurtured in a healthy environment instead of one that is painful, where people are suffering because of the creation of scarcity in the world of abundance. So we're going to read a little bit more from On Being Loved Warrior. Excuse me if I cough, but there are a lot of allergens in the world, especially today, that I have been struggling with. But I will continue to read in any case. This section of the book is called For Your Consideration, FYC. When I was young, my parents often spoke of education. When my father was young, he had to drop out of school to work in the fields. He had to learn to read by himself and to work hard all of his life. This taught him the importance of education. In my family, the word education could have been used in place of salvation. For most poor African Americans and immigrants, education was the key to success. It was the only hopeful way of obtaining the American dream for those who started out with nothing. Now, however, general educational needs have changed. Our education system does not seem to be keeping up with what is required to become a success in our society. In special schools for the more affluent in our society, children are taught the art of thinking and are provided a better education, one suited to the new millennium. The ability to think and the application of knowledge is more important in real-life situations than just giving back crammed-in information. The process of education should inspire the student to compare contrasting ideas and to develop his or her own. It is important for the student to become creative, imaginative, and pliable so that he or she can apply knowledge in various settings and in new exciting ways. Critical thinking, therefore, is something that is very desirable in the new millennium. Classes that foster critical thinking are necessary for ultimate success. Most private and public schools, however, do not foster critical thinking. Most private and public schools will work with an early 1900s model of teaching that was developed during the Industrial Revolution to prepare individuals to work in factories and to be obedient members of society. One person in the classroom who represents the system usually has all of the knowledge and parcels it out to those who can receive it. As Bella Bethany says, in From Power to Partnership, kids get an assembly line education when they are 5 or 6 years old, and then they are moved along as if they were machine parts, like those they will be working with one day to produce. If they cannot perform as dictated by the system, they will fall off, just like products are sometimes thrown off the assembly line because they are no good. Unquote. Students sit in chairs lined up in rows. They either read or take notes to absorb whatever knowledge that is provided them without ever questioning the veracity of the knowledge. They are marked according to their ability to parrot it and on their ability to obey the rules of behavior given to them by the institution. Critical thinking is kept to a minimum because it slows things down in already overcrowded classrooms. It takes a lot of time. If teachers had about half the amount of students that they have, it would be much easier for them to take the time to teach children how to compare and contrast. aside from this, the present educational system, just like our basic way of understanding and knowledge, is profoundly decontextualized. Some schools are not overcrowded, and in some classrooms, critical thinking is taught. But any teacher who thinks, who teaches this and teaches his or her students how to think critically has to work extra hard to get it accomplished in a system that does not really foster it. In latter years, when teachers try to get people who have not learned creative critical thinking to do it, they also run into brick walls. It is often easier to parrot that than it is to compare, contrast, think, and create, especially when one has been raised on television where everything is created for her or him. People often get angry when they are forced to question and think for the first time. National tests also measure knowledge and not critical thinking ability. Most problems in schools today come because we are working with an education model formed during the Industrial Revolution that was based on a dominator mode of thinking, according to From Power to Partnership. People were taught to function enough to either perpetuate the system or to work in factory jobs for 12 or 13 hours a day without questioning. Now, however, that is not what is needed. The new jobs are high tech. They need people who are imaginative and creative to design new systems. They need people who will question. They need people who are leaders unto themselves instead of followers of the quote-unquote strong man. They need individuals whose freedom makes them not lazy, but responsible for a larger cause and not just for themselves. They need whole human beings who can work with others. Today's job requires better teamwork, more cooperative behavior, and stronger interpersonal communication skills. But the education system still favors either-or antagonistic debates, for example, as a way of displaying one's learning, rather than model pro-social behaviors where two people are engaged in learning together. Either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. This paradigm is no longer suitable for the advancement of knowledge and creativity. We need new ways of thinking and new ways of learning in order to find new paradigms. We need continual learning. We need to fulfill the global universal dream instead of only the American dream, because the American dream for many doesn't work. School does not end at 12th grade now, nor does it end with a degree. School goes on and on for those who want to be whole human beings. If we leave ourselves open to learning opportunities, school goes on forever. We continually learn to compare and contrast. We learn about our own truths and how we might arrive at the truth. When I speak of truth, I am basically talking about the way the universe is and our relationship to that universe. I'm talking about the fact that the universe is active and still in the process of creating and being created with a purpose beyond human understanding. Looking back to the past, it often reminds us of the relationship between a cause that takes place in the cosmos and a reaction, which is often some form of creativity. On the Earth, the reaction has often resulted in more complex or adaptable forms of life and the extinction of others. Since this was the case in the past, it is logical to deduce that the actions of the universe in the present are also facilitating the creation of more adaptable forms of organisms, whether accidentally or on purpose. Our given identity as humans who are separate from the universe do not allow us to see the universe as a thinking entity. When we let go of our anthropomorphism, however, we can easily realize that the universe is not just several dead particles randomly bouncing off each other. We are part of that universe and should be living in union with it. We need to constantly learn about truth because knowledge is always increasing, theories are constantly changing. The ideas that we believed, theories that we took for granted, are now becoming obsolete, and the whole new world, a whole new world of thought and perception is being opened to us. We don't learn about these new things and come to understand them, we will shut down our minds and close our hearts to them. As any systems theorist can tell us, when a system closes itself off to new ideas and thoughts coming in and going out, it ceases to be healthy and begins to become stagnant. Each individual is a system of cells. It is important, therefore, to continue to learn new ways of thinking so that we don't become a hindrance to cultural evolution. It is also important so that we can live life more fully and enjoy the thrill of looking at the universe in a very new way. Things have been changing in the areas of science and religion. I remember learning about the atom when I was young. All seemed so simple. At the time, they said the electron was the smallest particle of matter. Some physicists have found all kinds of particles like neutrinos, quarks. Scientists have discovered many new things which the Newtonian form of physics cannot explain. It is reported that over 90% of the universe is made up of dark matter that is invisible and is not a vacuum. Scientists have discovered more about energy and thought. Researchers have found that giving love and receiving it actually energizes a person, and they have measured and recorded the changes. They have found that a smile energizes people. They have found that most of those things that were understood to be religious superstition actually have some validity. I'm not talking about religious people who have become scientific to prove religious beliefs were true, discovering these things. I'm talking about scientists. New models of investigation, they are beginning to find that we are all living in a context from which we cannot be separate. They are finding that reductionism, or taking things apart to fully understand the parts, does not explain the whole. The whole is an entity unto itself. They are discovering that we as human beings are part of the whole and can only be understood completely in the context of the process of the unfolding of the universe. We are not separate beings waiting to become gods. We are part of the universe and part of this earth that is still in the process of being created. Every species in the past had to adapt to the environment in a way that made it capable of surviving. Our human intellect is merely the adaptation that made our species able to survive. It is the one chosen by our species, just as every other being contributes to the health, well-being, and balance of this planet by its unique abilities and activities. It is our duty as human beings to do the same. Instead, we are now in the process of destroying it. It's time for us to learn again. We have to learn about reality instead of the myth of humanity, the idea that man was created in the image of God and that he is at the top of the hierarchy on earth. From the Hebrew scripture, is so deeply woven into the fabric of our lives that it has even been carried over into science, humanism, and atheism. Animals don't have souls. The earth is a dead rock. The more like us a species are, the more worth they have and the more intelligent they are. These beliefs that are passed on to us as the paradigms of our society. Are what become our cultural memes. We know them to be true without having to ask questions, only because we have not learned how to be critical enough to question. It is now time to question these paradigms because our belief in them has contributed to things like racism, sexism, ableism, homophobia, the abuse of animals, and the extinction of 10,000 species of life every year. That has gone up to 20,000 species of life since this book was written. The only salvation for humanity on this earth now, I think, is freedom of the mind. It is freedom to think clearly and to ask questions. It is the freedom to discuss, not in a challenging, competitive sort of way, but as one would discuss differences of opinion with a close friend or loved one in order to arrive at the truth. We must relearn our view of the world outside of the ideas that have been shaped by consumerism, the consumerism of the 1900s. By the time a child is ready to go to school, he or she has already been shaped by the consumer culture. The child has usually seen over 30 or 40,000 commercials by the age of 3 or 4 and has learned what our culture is really all about. In other cultures, the elders or religious institutions pass on the cultural values to the child. This is not the case today in our culture. Commercials and TV shows go straight into the subconscious of our children and become the blueprint for every understanding they will have about life. They teach the children that the earth and the universe is a mass of dead matter, and that success consists of destroying it, reshaping it, and obtaining as much of it as we can in our lifetimes. Just think about the commercials that our unguarded children see and what messages are behind them. The commercials say that you will be happy if you have the latest car. A house like this is what is normal. You should have one. This is what the normal person looks like. If you don't like this, you are not normal. It teaches us that happiness means consuming goods. Later, as a child grows up, we try to teach him or her about things that have real meaning in life. The commercials, however, have already shaped the thoughts and processes. We find ourselves fighting against a deeply implanted belief system. The consumer system slowly begins what is known as the meme, i.e., the genetic blueprint for human culture. Instead of our culture developing towards being loving and caring, community-oriented, it develops to be consuming, a consuming community. It's time for us to look at the world in a different way. It's time for us to relearn. It's not painful to relearn. Learning anew can be scary, but it does not destroy your mind. It does not destroy your workplaces or our way of life. It enhances them. It enlarges our minds and our thought processes, helps us become leaders and guides when it comes to leading this culture forward in the cultural evolution instead of being fearful, standing in the way. Today, our consumerism takes the place of religion that in the past has played a crucial role in producing higher levels of altruistic behavior in humans as they have evolved from apes to persons capable of cooperation in complex, interdependent, advanced urban societies. Don Browning writes, "Religion stimulates cultural adaptation and evolution. It constitutes the controlling values at the top of the hierarchy of cultural values, guiding human adaptation and progress. Now learning and the destruction of the consumer mentality empowers us. It helps us shape the future. It helps us to create a future that is kinder and gentler, more humane and more honest, and helps us to be honest, living, breathing examples for our children and the coming generation. We learn many new things. We learn about time and space in new ways. We learn that one type of science doesn't explain everything. We learn that there are several different ways of seeing truth, and we learn about growth. We learn about true growth. True growth and the expansion of self that comes when we learn about other people and cultures and when we learn to love. As we love, we begin to empathize. We begin to feel the other's pains and joys and to really communicate. We begin to see the world through the other's eyes. We get a better view of the world. We become more able to live with integrity. We move to align ourselves with reality instead of living a lie. In the past, many people sought to expand the self by expanding their control. They conquered people, didn't allow for any differences, They then had power over others, yes, but they maintained a small, closed, lonely system that was dying on the inside. They always had the need to reach outward to satisfy the self. Conquering to expand oneself is futile. It is the old way that leads nowhere except to eternal hunger. Let us do it the new way, the real way that is called love. For love is what fulfills our needs as a society and as individuals. Ralph Burho spoke of love as altruism. He said that first there was genetic altruism that allowed different collections of molecules, one cell species, chemicals and materials, and single cell species to bind together and survive in harmony. He referred to the central references of these species as genotypes. Next, several one-celled species allowed themselves to combine and become organisms. It was the altruism, or love between each of these species, that aided in these formations. These were the phenotypes, or expressions in the physical world, of the genetic expression of multi-celled organisms. The third step Burho referred to was a culture type. This took place when the altruism between several light organisms, especially human beings, formed groups or cultures. The next step for Burho is the ecotype. In the ecotype, every species, especially humans, realize they are one with the ecosystem. They realize that the planet is a living system, and that they must work in union with the earth and every living thing to maintain the health and balance of the whole system. Most other species do this automatically. This practice would be similar to what is referred to as an ecozoic era in the universe story. Finally, Burho arrives at the cosmotype. We realize that we are part of the whole cosmos. We learn that we must live together in harmony with everything in the whole cosmos, and we must form an altruistic bond with the whole cosmos. Burho reminds us that any organism or species that competed within itself was ultimately destroyed. Any species that cooperated led to the whole species flourishing. Is there any wonder in an age moving towards an ecozoic era that we human beings who are not in cooperation with the rest of the ecosystem may soon be extinct? So the exercise this week is the same as last week. Do some meditation. Think about what I've read. Let it soak into your subconscious. Do an idea each night until you're getting the same answer over and over again and feeling comfortable with it. Immediately after, sit in a comfortable position in a chair or cross-legged in a floor and do the same meditation as before as you listen to some soothing music. If you would like, do it for 15 minutes. Do this meditation right before you go to bed. If you've been doing it for a month, it may not seem as boring before. Your mind and body may be getting used to it and experiencing it as a time of rest. If not, persevere until it happens. When you wake up in the morning, stand. If you are able, with your hands hanging at your sides, your shoulders relax, your feet about shoulder width apart. Breathe deeply, very low again, into the belly. Like the earlier meditation, let your eyes relax on a spot far off in the distance. Try to clear the inner dialogue from your mind. As thoughts rise up, examine them, see what they are saying, and then let them go. Feel your body. Is there any tension anywhere? Can you feel where one shoulder or hip is higher or lower than the other? Pay attention to your body, how it feels. Just stand there. Allow your body to adjust itself as you stand there. The body is really self-adjusting. As you become aware of the tension or maladjustments, your body works to realign itself. Allow this to happen. Experience how it feels just to stand with your feet planted firmly, shoulders back, head held up high. If You cannot do this in a standing position. Sit with your shoulders back, head up, your back straight. The warrior must learn to stand for her or himself with his or her feet deeply planted in the earth and his or her head held up high into the heavens. The warrior is the bridge between heaven and earth. Think on these things and remember the feelings that you have while you're doing them. Write them down and also write down any questions that you may have. Next time, we will look at some more of the philosophy behind WOCG, that is the Warrior of Compassion Guild. We will review the total pyramid of identity formation used in Western society and explore the top God, the God of the West, and God, Goddess images in depth. If you are just tuning into this the first time, you can find the first set of lessons in the show back a month ago, where you can listen to that and catch up very quickly. You can learn the exercises that they did last week, excuse me, for last month, and begin to repeat them over again. The good thing about this radio show is that all of them are archived, so you can take advantage of them. You can also purchase the book. The book is called On Being Loved Warrior, A Warrior's Manual on Becoming the Compassionate Warrior Within by Kendall Ronan, and it is published by iUniverse. So you can also get the book and follow along or do it yourself. It's very good being with you today. We're going to have a little bit of a break again, and then wrap things up, letting you know exactly what all this Warrior of Compassion stuff is really all about. For more information, please visit us at our website at www.nextstepcoaching.com. That is www.nextstepcoaching.com, where you can learn about some of the body work we are offering and also some of our life coaching. Namaste. If you like what you're hearing, please take the URL of this show and feel free to spread it. Email it to your friends and family members so that they can also take advantage of these teachings, teachings that would probably cost you thousands of dollars, and some of the big institutes are available for you right now. And if you follow through with these things, you will become someone that will make your community proud and that will make your country proud, make your family proud, and you will become the person that you have always been looking for, the one that you can truly love yourself because of the beauty and the wisdom that you bring forth out of that deep divine wisdom within you. And that is what all of this Warrior of Compassion thing is really about, you see. It's about two things. Firstly, it's about learning to love yourself completely. And that would mean two things. One, caring about yourself. And the other, coming to know who and what you really are. Coming to know that you have arrived in this world as a beautiful, wonderful, creative being. Realizing the fact that you would not be here if you were not already a powerful, wonderful winner. That's the first thing. The other is knowing that you are a wonderful and beautiful divine being that needs to be nurtured in this world anyway, so that that beauty in you can grow like a seed planted deep in the rich earth. The other thing is to help your community, to help your family, and to help your friends by learning to love them and learning to treat them as you treat yourself. But, you see, if you cannot love yourself completely and treat yourself well, you will not have the power or energy to begin to help your community and to help them grow and prosper. So the priority is to begin to love oneself as one is. And as one begins to truly love the self, the concept of self expands. And we realize that we are not just this small person trapped in time and space in this body struggling. We realize that we, in essence, are the universe realizing itself. And we begin to behave as the universe behaves. How does the universe behave? The universe creates. It is constantly creating new and wonderful things. We, as human beings, live lives of joy and peace when we are allowed to create beauty and wonder, when we are allowed to dream new dreams and imagine new things. So being a warrior of compassion is a way of returning back to the true self, being who we are, and standing up against the onslaught of the fake messages that we receive every day and all of the advertisements and in all of the institutions that try to put us down, tell us that we are in need. We are not in need of anything, for we are the world. We are the universe. We are the light that we seek. So may you find light and love and peace throughout your time on this, our planet Earth, our Mother Earth, and well into the future. Namaste, everyone. Until next week.
In order to learn more about what we are doing, please visit our website at www.nextstepcoaching.4t.com, where you can find some very interesting books and some services that we do to enhance your health and well-being on the mental, physical, and spiritual levels.
If you like what you're hearing right now, please forward our URL to some of your friends, family members, and also follow us on this website here at Blog Talk Radio so that you can learn about some of the interesting things we're doing. You can also explore our website more fully. In the future, we hope to be offering life coaching classes to end internalized oppression and the need to oppress externally by delving deeply into our true identity and knowing that we are the ones who helped to create this reality. Not only a small group, not a larger group, but everyone on this earth. And at that time, when we realize this, we become free of the pain and the suffering that seems common in the world. Stay tuned. We will let you know when we will be leading workshops on becoming the compassionate warrior and breaking free of the conditioning that often binds us.
Shop Acme Markets and earn gas reward points to redeem at Sunoco stations. Start earning today. Sign up at acmemarkets.com or download the Acme app. Get California seedless green, red, or black grapes for only $1.48 a pound. And General Mills cereal, $1.88 each when you buy four. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to acmemarkets.com/rewards.
Switch to Sprint Unlimited Basic, featuring TV from Hulu and 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot. Plus, for a limited time, get 5 lines for only $120 per month. Hurry to a Sprint store or call 1-800-SPRINT-1.
Offer ends 8/16/18. After 1/31/2020, pay $32 per month per line for 5 lines with auto pay. One Hulu limited commercial plan for eligible Sprint account. MHS reduced to 3G speeds after 500 megabytes per month. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Requires new lines. Subject to credit and 30-day activation fee. Video streams up to 480p. Speed maximums, use rules, and restrictions apply.